Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Another week of Big 12 football is in the books. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We're glad you're here. We just want to make sure that you are subscribed right now to the channel so you know everything going on in the Big 12. No matter what team you follow, who you're a fan of, we have got you covered. So week five is wrapped up. And where I want to begin is with two teams that had big-time bounce-back weeks in Week 5. And we'll start off with the Utah Utes. You know, they lose to Texas Tech last week. They go to Morgantown. Now, the Mountaineers are banged up all over the place. Starting quarterbacks out, starting running back. They have issues at every single level. But I was curious to see if Utah was going to show up in a big way or if that Texas Tech loss was going to get them down. And what I learned about the Utah Utes is that this team is what I thought it was. It's just Texas Tech may be that darn good. Devin Dampier looked like the guy that I expect him to be this season. Threw for four touchdowns, ran for one, had all that dual threat ability you would want to see out of Devin Dampier. So this is much more about what Texas Tech did last week in Salt Lake City and what they're capable of doing the rest of the way going forward, because Utah needed that feel good, big time bounce back game. And it's exactly what they got. And if you're a Texas or a Utah fan, you're looking at this game and you're saying to yourself, okay, that's the team. That's the team I thought we were going to have. And it still is the team that you can have. My preseason prediction was Texas Tech versus Utah for a Big 12 championship in Arlington. And I believe there are other teams in the mix to get to Arlington, but I have no reason to back off of that prediction right now and say, man, I'm going to look like a total fool. There's no need for me to do that at this point in time. I mean, Utah racked it up on the ground. Dampier had all day back there. West Virginia really couldn't get any pressure, didn't have any sacks on the afternoon. So this was a great bounce back. Now, West Virginia has problems. Don't get me wrong. They have injuries. I mean, do you trust Jalen Henderson at quarterback? I wasn't in love with Nico Markiol, but I am now after seeing the options behind him. They just could not get it going. And, you know, you think about it. What? You had one really big run in the backfield from Jared Bowie. And that was kind of it. Hubbard might have ripped off a decent run, 25 yards or something along those lines. But, you know, they also had some of that coming garbage time. This game was over by halftime. Let's be honest. It was done. Utah was going home with a win, and it was just a matter of running out the final 30 minutes of this game. So for West Virginia, who after the win against Pittsburgh has now gotten blown out in two straight Big 12 games by Kansas and Utah. It may be the kind of season that some of us were fearful it was going to be for Rich Rod. And that's not necessarily all on him because of the fact they are dealing with injuries. And Rich Rod made sure after the game to not make that an excuse, but it was something that you have to admit is a problem right now for West Virginia. And it's not getting any easier from here. They got to go to BYU coming up on Friday after losing their last two games, both Big 12 games, by 31 and 34 points. That one could get really ugly quickly as well. Now, the other game I want to touch on here is Kansas State bouncing back in a big way against UCF. Now, I know some of you want to rub salt in the wound. I thought UCF could not just cover. I thought UCF could win this one outright. But credit to Kansas State. All right, first off, Taven Jackson leaves the game for UCF at quarterback. It felt like going to be the beginning of the end. He does come back, so good on him. But overall, I'm looking at this game, and I'm saying to myself, welcome back, Dylan Edwards. He was the engine that got this offense going, and it's what they desperately needed. Because you forgot what the offense can look like with him in there. I mean, he really hasn't played much since the Iowa State game in week zero. He got hurt on a punt return. And then he played a couple of snaps against Arizona, as I recall, a couple of weeks back. But he was finally back to his old self, back to the player that we thought he was going to be before that week zero injury. 20 carries, 166 yards, and a touchdown. Also had a touchdown reception. And it really opened things up for Avery Johnson as well. And that's what you saw on Saturday afternoon. Avery Johnson just had one of his best games passing the ball. He was efficient throwing the ball. And that is something that he really hasn't been so far this season. And then he also was wildly effective running the ball as well. Now, UCF doesn't have a great run defense. It's one of the concerns I had coming into this game. But Kansas State got a bounce back win that it desperately needed coming off of that bye week where they were basically sitting there at 1-3, could have easily been 0-4. Right? This team was one drive against North Dakota away from being 0-4. It was a horrific start to the season. But now you sit there and you say, okay, Kansas State's 1-1 in Big 12 play. Like, they're right there with Utah and Baylor and KU and, frankly, all these other teams that think that they can win the Big 12 conference. They go to Waco this weekend, and then it's TCU. These next two games will go a long way to deciding whether or not Kansas State is going to suddenly be in contention as we get through the month of October. But it was all about Dylan Edwards getting this offense rolling. And then defensively, I thought Kansas State was tremendous, especially in that first half. Even before Taven Jackson went out. I mean, they were not allowing UCF to get anything going. They did a little bit as the game went on. Miles Montgomery had himself a big game in the backfield for UCF. But they just came out like a ball of fire on that defensive side of the ball. And that is all the credit to especially the linebacking core. I thought Austin Romaine was tremendous on Saturday. It was so much fun to watch him. He was all over the place. And they just needed that jolt. I mean, yeah, they were 1-3, but they still had, going into this game, basically everything in front of them. And their goals were still very much in play. And you saw that team have a chip on its shoulder on Saturday. And if you're a K-State fan, that's got to be a welcome sight after how the first month of this season went. So those two teams needed bounce backs in a big way, and they absolutely got it. And good on Chris Klieman for getting his guys to show up, because that is what they needed desperately. Next up, I want to dive into the game in Lawrence, Kansas. That was enormous for Scott Satterfield. Getting a road win against the Kansas Jayhawks as an underdog. I looked this up. In his first 2 years in the Big 12, Scott Satterfield was a combined 2-11 straight up as an underdog. That is not a good record. This was the biggest win of Scott Satterfield's career at Cincinnati. Going on the road in Big 12 play and getting this victory to give your program and your fan base some hope and to stay undefeated. Well, 3-1, forgotten the Nebraska game, but you go to 3-1, you're 1-0 in the Big 12. So for Scott Satterfield, this is a huge win for him because he hadn't ever really gone on the road and won a legit Big 12 game as an underdog. He had done it once over the last 2 years, and it was UCF last season. And that's when UCF was getting a lot of love. A lot of people thought that Gus Malzahn might actually put it together. And of course, he didn't. But against a traditional, like an original eight Big 12 team that's still left in the conference, he had not done that yet. He was 2-11 as an underdog the last two seasons. One of those wins was the UCF game last year. The other one was Pittsburgh 2 years ago. So when you look at it from just a Big 12 perspective, only Big 12 games as an underdog straight up, he was 1-11. That's a brutal number. So for him to finally get on the road and do what he did, the way that he did it, and the offense was outstanding. These two teams piled up 1,200 yards. Now, I know you're questioning, okay, what's the Cincinnati defense going to do from here on out? Just enjoy this win. This is something that Scott Satterfield really hasn't done during his time in Cincinnati. And he did it without his best player, Dante Corleone, his big defensive tackle, who's basically the engine for that defense. And they did it without him. They had multiple touchdowns called back. This could have been a much bigger win for Cincinnati. But you know what? They didn't get down on themselves. They win the game 37-34, and they walk out of Lawrence with a win, a KU team that I still think is pretty good. Now, KU's defense couldn't show up in this one, and that was of huge concern. This Kansas defense that I still believe has some talent on it couldn't get any pressure, couldn't really stop the run. And you felt like every time Cincinnati was coming down the field, they were basically going to score. And that's more or less what they did in this game. It was a total old Big 12 shootout. And Brendan Sorsby led the way in one of the best games I've seen him play for the Cincinnati Bearcats. I mean, they were wildly efficient. They won the time of possession. They were really good on third down. They were 3-for-3 on fourth down. And they had 603 total yards. I mean, that is just, at some point, Lance Leipold's got to be saying to his guys, can we get a stop somewhere here? And they just couldn't do it. And that's despite Cincinnati having to overcome four touchdowns getting called back because of penalties, which, yes, if you're a Cincinnati fan, you want to clean those up. You want to get the defense back on track. But right now, if you're Cincinnati, you're 1-0 in the Big 12. You're feeling good about yourself. You're welcoming Iowa State to town next week in your house in what can be one of the better home environments in the entire Big 12. And then it's UCF and Oklahoma State. So Cincinnati's schedule can be fairly favorable here on the front end. And this is what happened last year, though. They got off to a good start, and then they lost, what, 5 in a row to close out the season. I don't believe that's going to happen. Cincinnati does look much improved to me, but I'm just saying this is a first step for Scott Satterfield to officially get himself off the hot seat and feel good about where this program is trending under his leadership. That is what this one is all about.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you. Wayfair, every style, every home.
I want to get into the late night game. That's where I want to go. Let's go to BYU and Colorado, shall we? BYU beats Colorado 24-21, a game that they trailed early 14-0. More points than they had given up all season long for BYU. And you're like, wait, what's going on here? I mean, I was all in on BYU in this game to not just win, but also cover. I was wrong on the cover. I'm like, what am I watching here? Okay, with all due respect, Colorado has not gotten any push up front all season long. And suddenly I'm looking at this offensive line and I'm like, okay, I mean, this is what we thought they might be able to be. And they looked like it early in the game. They had it rolling in that first half, two straight touchdown drives. And they were impressive drives. I mean, these were not like just one quick strike drives. These were methodical drives that you saw on display by Colorado. 11 plays, 75 yards, 4 plays, 62 yards. That one, you know, had more of a quick strike ability to it. But still, it's like, where has this Colorado offense been all game or all season for that matter? And then BYU settled down. Colorado goes on a streak of punt, punt, turnover on downs, punt. And they do get a touchdown towards the end of the third quarter, which puts them back on top 21-17. This after BYU had taken the lead on the drive prior. And Colorado's got that mojo back, right? And you're thinking, okay, we're going to the fourth quarter. This one's going to be good. But what does BYU do? BYU immediately responds with a touchdown of its own. And that is really the story of this game, was BYU getting kicked early on, but bouncing back up with a true freshman quarterback on the road. And Bear Bachmeier was put into positions where he had to make some plays with his arm and also with his legs. And you saw that on display on Saturday. I mean, he had some big time plays on that go ahead drive in the fourth quarter. So everything about Bear Bachmeier is what I expected. Yes, there are moments when you say, okay, he's a freshman. You do see that all the time, but that's to be expected. The bigger point is, can he do enough, and can he be creative enough, and can he be confident enough as a true freshman quarterback with that defense and the pieces around him to win games like this? And down 14-0 on the road in his first career start in a Big 12 game, he helps lead his team back. And yes, the defense showed up in a big way, and none of this would have been possible without the defense locking down. But then again, you can say, well, the defense is the one that kind of soiled themselves over the first couple of drives to this game that put the team in a position to be down 14-0. So I'll give you that if that's the approach you want to take. But this BYU team, and what I saw on Saturday outside of those first couple of drives, is what I expected. And for Colorado, you've got to be optimistic coming out of this game, because I thought this one could get ugly. I mean, heck, they won the bowl game last year by 20 plus points against this Colorado team that most people would say was a better team. But BYU took a while to get its offense going. Colorado did do a better job on both lines. Even though they were far from perfect, they did do a better job with both lines. And that is something that if you are a fan of Colorado, you've got to come out of this game feeling like, okay, I'm seeing some improvement here. I feel like this team is getting better. The problem is now you have a brutal stretch coming up of at TCU, home to Iowa State, and at Utah. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but man, that is as difficult as it gets in this Big 12 conference right now. So it's not getting any easier for Colorado. On the other side, you've got BYU playing West Virginia on Friday night, and then it's at Arizona. And based on what I saw from Arizona on Saturday, BYU is staring 6-0 right in the mirror if they can take care of their own business, which they did on Saturday night. I want to go to Iowa State. Let's talk about Iowa State. Speaking of Arizona, they crush Arizona 39-14 on Saturday in a game that was all Cyclones start to finish and was all about John Heacock and that defense just locking down Noah Fifita. I mean, after Arizona opens up with that missed field goal, which did take some of the wind out of their sails, when you're on the road in the Big 12 in a tough environment, it was whiteout night in Ames. They had nothing going. Punts, three and out, 5 yards or five plays, 13 yards, punt, interception, and then they finally get a touchdown on the board by the time they're down 22-0. So the game was effectively over by halftime. We did have a couple of those games in the Big 12. This happened to be one of them. So this was admittedly a tough one if you're an Arizona fan, because you thought, hey, first off, they're undefeated. They're undefeated against the spread. And let's see what we can do here now against a top 15 team in the Big 12. And it wasn't pretty. If you were hoping that Brent Brennan could get himself off a hot seat in week five, yeah, it didn't happen. Now, it did happen for Scott Satterfield, I would argue. Now, he could still collapse here, but that was a big win for Scott Satterfield on Saturday. That is not what happened in this game for Arizona. They got smoked. Fifita really couldn't get it going. I mean, his final stat line may look halfway decent with 250 yards, but there was nothing happening downfield for this Arizona team. I mean, it wasn't pretty at all. A lot of dinking and dunking, a lot of hoping that a guy can find open space out of the flat, and a lot of the yards came when the game was basically all but over anyway. That's what this game was. And they really didn't lean into the running game. They couldn't really get it going, it felt like, for Arizona. And that's because of what John Heacock does. The guy's an absolute stud at defensive coordinator. And Iowa State, not that I was doubting them in this game, but I was intrigued enough to say, I wonder what this game can be. I wonder what this one can ultimately look like. And it didn't look good for Arizona. And it looked great for Iowa State. I mean, you sit there and you're like, okay, maybe Arizona on the road, they're 3-0 and they're surprising people. And Iowa State, I mean, you know, schedule looks a little weaker than it did with each passing week. And Iowa State's like, hold my beer, got this, going to blow this team out and prove you wrong again. And that's just what they do. They're 5-0 for a second straight season for the first time ever in Iowa State football history. Iowa State has never had back-to-back 5-0 seasons, and now they have that. And that is a testament to Matt Campbell, this program. They send guys to the NFL, and they just rebuild. I don't want to say reload because they're not using the portal. They're just rebuilding. But they're rebuilding in a way that is not requiring them to go out there and have to load up on portal guys. They've got their dudes. They love the program. They want to stay. They love Iowa State. And now they're in the top 15 again. And they're going to compete for a Big 12 championship. They're going to be there at the end. They go to Cincinnati, Colorado, home to BYU and Arizona State coming up at TCU. I mean, it's not an easy schedule at all. It's one of the reasons I didn't pick them to get to a Big 12 championship. But I also, you know, thought this team would take a step back just because of what they lost. And it does not look like that's happening. And you saw that on display again on Saturday night, beating Arizona in a very impressive performance that is all about what Iowa State football has become. And that's a program with depth, with toughness, defense first, efficiency on offense. That was Iowa State on Saturday night in a nutshell and what it has become under Matt Campbell. And it is darn impressive to watch. We will go to Stillwater, Oklahoma, where Baylor beat Oklahoma State 45-27. And, you know, got to give credit to Oklahoma State fans. You guys showed up. You had some juice. It was weird seeing an Oklahoma State football game without Mike Gundy on the sidelines in some capacity for the first time in a quarter century, whether it's as an assistant or as a head coach. But the fan base was into it. The problem is the team still stinks. Sawyer Robertson lit it up. 400 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and he threw each of his touchdown passes to a different player. He spread the love around. I mean, Josh Cameron was a beast on Saturday, and Baylor did what a lot of us thought they were going to do against Oklahoma State, and that is just roll to a pretty convincing win. Now, they had it going a little bit early, all right? I mean, Oklahoma State was hanging in there early. Even at halftime, they were down 1 score, and then Baylor just methodically pulled away as the game went along. So if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you know it's all about the future. You might say, hey, Zane Flores looked pretty good, career-high passing yards. Trent Howland in the backfield looked pretty good, career highs for him as well, 84 yards and a couple of scores. They looked better, I guess, than they did against Oregon and Tulsa. There was some fire in the belly of Doug Meacham and those guys, which you really hadn't seen over the last couple of weeks. there is some talent on the roster. I mean, no one's denying that, but it still is just not a very good team. It's just not. And that's just a main takeaway. Not that that's a shock to you. I know you're not sitting here watching the show being like, oh, Pete, thanks for telling me Oklahoma State's not a very good team. But that's just the continued takeaway of what Oklahoma State is. They had a pulse. They satisfied the fans in attendance for two or three quarters. The fans, you guys were tremendous. But Oklahoma State's just not that good. Now, Baylor's doing what we thought they would do on offense. I still wonder whether or not this defense is good enough to basically get them to a Big 12 championship game. I still have a lot of questions about this Baylor defense. And Dave Aranda alluded to it during his halftime interview. He was like, yeah, you know, we got some things to clean up. And what he basically meant is the defense. The defense for Baylor is what is going to break this team and not allow them to play for a Big 12 championship. They've got a great offense. But, you know, when you look at what Baylor's got and who they've got to play here the rest of the way, Kansas State this weekend, then it's TCU. Cincinnati's offense just put up 600 yards. So these three games in a row here, they're going up against three of the better offenses in the Big 12 now that Dylan Edwards is back for Kansas State. You've got Dylan Edwards, Avery Johnson. They're going to run it up on the ground, and Baylor has stunk against the run. Then it's TCU and Josh Hoover, maybe the best quarterback in the Big 12, my two cents. Then you're talking about going to Cincinnati, who just put up 600 yards against Kansas. So right there, it's like, man, they've got to figure this thing out and figure it out fast on that side of the ball if they are going to compete. The Friday night games. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Make sure you are subscribed right now to the channel. Hit the like button on the video if you're watching. And always on the podcast, a 5-star rating and review would be awesome. A comeback of comebacks for Arizona State at home. My goodness. Friday night, they're down 17-0 to TCU. And what do? They come out and they slowly and methodically get themselves back in the game. They score a couple of touchdowns before halftime. Will Levitt doesn't panic. And Will Levitt proves why he's a guy who in the clutch is as good as it gets in the Big 12. I just said I thought that Josh Hoover is the best quarterback in the Big 12. But if I'm down 17-0 and I got to come back to win a game, I want Sam Levitt as my quarterback at Arizona State. That's the dude that I want. And you saw him do it against TCU on Friday night. Didn't panic, didn't overreact, kept his cool, found Jordan Tyson for a big touchdown when it mattered, got the offense rolling, and they get back on track, combined with a defense that really locked down as that game progressed and had a huge night up front. 6 sacks, 13 tackles for loss. I mean, they kept that TCU offense in check, especially over those last 2.5 quarters or so. I mean, TCU got nothing going on the run. If you're a TCU fan, you got to be like, okay, what are we going to do about this running game? We had 12 rushing yards. Now, I know a lot of that comes from the fact that Josh Hoover took a lot of sacks. And in college, that obviously impacts your rushing statistics. But still, I mean, even if you take out Josh Hoover's minus 38 yards, they had 15 carries for 50 yards. That's what, 3 yards a carry, give or take? Trent Battle and Jeremy Payne didn't really get a chance to get it going. And when you're up, you know, 17-0, that's when you want to work in and open up the running game. And TCU just could not do it on Friday night. So that was very difficult to watch. But it's all about Sam Levitt getting that team back on track. Relique Brown continues to prove that, listen, they miss Cam Scataboo. There's no doubt about it. You don't just lose a guy like Cam Scataboo and sit there and say, oh, we'll be fine. Relique Brown is not Cam Scataboo. I'm not suggesting that he is. But at the same time, he's looked pretty darn good as the season has progressed. Levitt can use his legs, especially when he needs to, in crunch time, when it matters. And while you don't want him running all over the place, he's very efficient when he does choose to use his legs. And it's a big factor in Arizona State getting back on track, winning these last couple of games, being 2-0 in the Big 12, even though these are, you know, some nail-biting games, who cares? They've won their first two Big 12 games by a combined score of 27-24. Now they get set for Utah and then Texas Tech and then Houston and then Iowa State. One of the reasons I didn't pick Arizona State to get to a Big 12 championship game is because of their schedule. And their schedule is shaping out to be just as difficult as we thought it was going to be. So I like this team a lot. I just, in a 16-team conference where the schedule suddenly matters, Arizona State's is brutal. But this Utah game is going to be tremendous coming up next weekend. And for TCU, I still like a lot about this team. The defense actually held up better than I anticipated at times, which, you know, credit to them and what they're doing on that side of the ball. I mean, they had a good game. They got pressure on Leavitt. He just figured out how to work around him. And that's what this game was really about. And the offense stalling out and the Arizona State defense locking down. That is what led to Arizona State pulling off the win on Friday night. And then the game that nearly was disastrous, Houston beating Oregon State 27-24 in overtime. Houston waking up finally in the fourth quarter, deciding they should play some football and not have one of the worst losses of the Big 12 season against an Oregon State team that came in at 0-4. So Connor Wigman finally is like, all right, let's get some touchdowns on the board here. He has those two long touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. They get to overtime. They win it on a field goal, but you're still sitting there shaking your head like, guys, really? I mean, Houston can be one of the great surprises of the Big 12 football season, and they nearly threw it all away with a loss to Oregon State on Friday night. My goodness, fellas. I said, though, I was afraid they might get caught looking ahead. Thankfully, they got a win. No one's going to remember it, but oh, gosh. Oh, and then you're up at like 12 in the morning watching this. Like, I'm really sitting here at 12 a.m. watching Houston try to come back against Oregon State. This is not how I planned my Friday night, fellas. I know you don't care about me. That's fine. You shouldn't. But that's not how I planned out my Friday night there, boys. Come on now. Let's go. But they won. Sigh of relief, everybody. Houston's 4-0. Best start since 2016 when they started off 5-0. If they were caught looking ahead, they got to win. Now it's time for Texas Tech next week. Oh, my goodness. But you gave me a scare there, Willie Fritz, Wigman and company. You gave me a big scare. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12 Conference. So glad that you are here. Hey, if you're new, share it with a friend. We cover the Big 12. We've got videos for you all week long. We're glad that you are here as always. Please do hit the like button on the video. Appreciate you doing that. And we will talk to you soon. Week 5 of the Big 12 football season is in the books. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. And also, we've got the link to your merch shop. Do not miss that in the show description. And I'll tell you what I did on Friday night, all right? Or Friday during the day. I was at the Ryder Cup on Friday. Bethpage Black, Long Island, if you're a golf fan, you know it well. And went with my father. It was something we had been looking at on the calendar for years. And not going to lie, it was amazing to be there, but it was somewhat underwhelming. It was overwhelming and it was underwhelming. 50,000 people chasing four groups of golfers. If you go to a golf tournament, you know how this works. Typically, you've got all these different pairings. You got 18, you know, groups out there playing, one on each hole. That's not what was going on. There's only four matches going on. And the U.S. got its clock cleaned. I didn't think the crowd was as intense as I was hoping it was going to be. And part of that was because we were just getting smoked by the Europeans. Europeans were just crushing them all day Friday. It got even worse on Saturday. So, I mean, it was amazing to experience a Ryder Cup for the first time in my life. But, man, I thought the Europeans were going to roll it. They did, at least as of this conversation. I mean, I suppose on singles on Sunday, they could have this miraculous comeback, but I'm not going to hold my breath. But it was very cool to be at a Ryder Cup. But I will say, man, Team USA has to figure its stuff out. Europe couldn't miss a putt. And the way they set up the course too, they didn't set it up for like a US Open style Bethpage Black course with a long rough. I mean, I walked through the fairway and I couldn't believe how short the rough was. So basically, it became a putting contest. And Europe is winning the putting contest. Team USA is getting smoked in the putting contest. And that's why the results are what they are so far in the Ryder Cup. But it was a tremendous experience. If you can ever get to one, it's still fun to do. Check it off the bucket list. But I'm not going to lie and sit here and say I'm dying to go back to one, especially considering the fact that Team USA feels like it's a mile behind Team Europe when it comes to playing this event. They just embrace the team side of this way more than Team USA does. Scottie Scheffler, like, does not, I'm not saying he doesn't care, but he does not look like Scottie Scheffler out there. He doesn't. And Tiger Woods wasn't all that good in these either. So maybe there's something about greatness where these guys just like can't get out of their own minds. Like they're just playing for themselves. I don't know. But Tiger wasn't great in Ryder Cups. Scottie Scheffler has been abysmal in this Ryder Cup. And you wonder how much of these guys that play a solo sport just can't buy into the team atmosphere. But the Europeans, they love the team element to this. And it's why they're having the week that they're having. All right. We'll be back with you. Plenty more videos coming this week. I'm Pete Mundo, HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Subscribe right now. It's the best way for you to help the show. Share with a buddy, like the video, and leave us a 5-star on the podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, and go Big 12.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.